Good morning. The time is 9:06. Temperature up to 40 degrees here in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are expecting record high temperatures every day this week. We've had a high record set Monday, Tuesday, and then yesterday we tied the record. And today, expecting temperatures into the low 50s with the possibility of some storms later on. We'll keep you up to date on that as we continue. Things will then cool down towards the weekend. Well, coming up in this hour, coming up at 9:20, we'll be talking to a D.C. Everest High School boys basketball coach, Oliver Drake. I'll get a chance to see him and his team later on tonight as well as the Evergreens take on the Wausau West Warriors over at D.C. Everest Senior High School. 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip-off right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also, wanted to start this hour off by talking a little bit about a rather significant day in terms of the search for a new superintendent of schools for the Wausau School District. Of course, we have been bringing in candidates for the school board election. Just yesterday, we had our third guest, Fred Teeley. We've had a couple of others as well. So again, if you missed our three discussions with our school board candidates, just go to our podcast page, search out the Chad Holmes Show, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to BowFallsRadio.com and click on shows. Go to CivicMedia.com, click on shows as well. You can listen to previous episodes of this program. But today, the Wausau School District is holding four focus group discussions as they continue the process of trying to find out what folks want in their new superintendent. And today, there'll be four different groups that will be giving their opportunity to give ideas on what the new superintendent, the qualities that he or she should have. At 1 p.m. today, administrators will be meeting with the consultants that the school district has brought in. Teachers will get an opportunity at 2:45 p.m., support staff at 4 p.m., and board members will have an opportunity at 5:30 p.m. These discussions will be held in the Nicholson Boardroom and are open to the public. So if you're interested in hearing what each of these groups have to say in terms of the qualities that they would like to see in a new superintendent of schools, you can sit in at the Nicholson Boardroom at 1 o'clock, starting at 1, and can sit right through them all. 1 o'clock with the administrators, teachers at 2:45, support staff at 4, and the board members, the final round, at 5:30. And these focus groups are designed to help consultants build a candidate profile by identifying characteristics and qualities desired by those groups. So, again, it's an important part of the process. It's an important job that the school board has, as current superintendent Dr. Keith Hiltz has announced he'll be retiring at the end of June. The Board of Education has said they hope to close the applicant pool, select candidates to interview by the end of March, and if all goes as planned, the winning candidate could be named by the end of April, with their official start date being July the 1st. And then, of course, that way Dr. Hiltz will retire on June the 30th, and the new superintendent in an ideal world would begin starting on July the 1st. And the application deadline is March the 15th. And all questions about the posting, according to an advertisement for the position on the Wisconsin Association of School Boards website, questions about the applications should be directed to WASB Search Services Consultant Fran Franco. So again, it seems as though over the last couple of years, never been a want for stories and concerning the WASA School Board. And this is a very, very important decision in terms of leadership for the WASA School District. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on this as it continues throughout 2024. And hopefully a decision will be made in the first part of the year. And of course, the school board election also coming up in early April as well. Also, we heard our information update at the beginning of the hour. And during the news portion of our update, we heard comments from Dr. Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law Poll. And it caught my attention because I was just talking about this in the last hour. And my first thought was, and he appeared on the Devil's Advocate show. And, of course, Devils do a terrific job in terms of discussing the issues. But, and it wasn't just the Devils yesterday that were talking about this. I know Todd Alba was talking about this as well. And, again, we get an opportunity as hosts of our program to be able to talk about whatever, you know, in terms of what we want to talk about. Hopefully that connects with our listeners. But when I heard the comments talking that Dr. Charles Franklin made, talking about the number of the percentage that is going towards an independent candidate, and talking about this shows dissatisfaction with the Democrat Joe Biden and the Republican Donald Trump. My first thought is, maybe I am completely off when I say this, but my first thought when I heard that comment was, well, people like yourself, Dr. Franklin, and others who are on the air constantly talking about this dissatisfaction with Joe Biden. And again, I will ask the question, the dissatisfaction with Joe Biden. If you voted for Joe Biden in 2020 and have seen what has occurred here in the last 3-plus years, are you dissatisfied with the economic record that shows that the United States economy performing better than any other country in the world in the post-pandemic period? Are you dissatisfied with that? Are you dissatisfied with the job growth? That every single month we hear surprising job growth, surprising job growth. Are you dissatisfied with that? Are you dissatisfied with this incredibly long stretch of unemployment under 4%? Are you disappointed if you are somebody that buys stocks with the Wall Street stock market totals higher than they've ever been? Are you dissatisfied with, as I talked about in the last hour, Joe Biden actually delivering on his promises of appointing judges that look like America? Are you dissatisfied with gas prices under $3 a gallon? Are you dissatisfied with the moral leadership that has been brought about by Joe Biden in comparison to the previous president? Again, when I heard Dr. Charles Franklin, who I will note will never appear on this program because I have no stomach to have a pollster on this show because I'm not going to talk about the polls. Again, I'm not going to promise I'll never, but not in February in front of a November election. I mean, when we're closer to it, when there's more of a feel of accuracy, then yeah. But I mean, you look at February polls over the years, tell me the ones that actually have been accurate. So no, I will not have a need to put in a note to Dr. Charles Franklin in order to come on this program and talk about polls. It will not happen. But the point is, talking about dissatisfaction. We hear and we read and we constantly are barraged with people that tell us the American people have dissatisfaction with Joe Biden. I'm waiting to hear what the dissatisfaction is. The man ran on certain principles, and he has governed by those principles. He is the person that has said this bipartisan bill that was put together by three members of the United States Senate. He said, well, it's not everything that he would want in it. In this time, in this era, we need to work across the aisle. We're not going to get everything that we want. Joe Biden was willing to say, okay, I'm willing to compromise here. But Donald J. Trump and the Republicans in the United States Congress are not. So again, when we, and again, I don't want to hear about these polls. I really don't. And I'm not going to subject you to a bunch of talk about polls. We're going to talk about, again, the story that came out on CNN today about Joe Biden fulfilling a promise to appoint judges that look like America. And Joe Biden delivering when you look at how the economy has performed based on things like the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Joe Biden said when this was signed, it was not going to be an overnight thing. It would go over the years as we get these infrastructure projects going. Get the jobs that these projects bring. Bring the growth to the economy that these projects bring. There are records here, people. I'm going to keep telling you that. There are records to be talked about. Be informed. Don't listen to the talking heads. Don't let them make your opinion when it's really not true. Coming up, we're going to talk to DC Everest boys basketball coach Oliver Drake. That's coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, last night, Jeff Gress and myself had the big high school sports show here on WXCO. Our coach guest this week, Oliver Drake from the DC Everest Boys Basketball Program. And Evergreens have had some very tight games recently, getting set to take on Wausau West tonight here on Bull Falls Radio. But we welcome Oliver Drake to the program.
Yeah, this is a beautiful place. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, second year. And very different from a year ago, because again, we were just talking off the air. You had yourself not just a good basketball player, you had one of the best basketball players not only in the area but in the state. And this year, a much younger team and new roles. What has the transition been like for your group here in the 2023-24 season?
Yeah, I think anytime you lose a player like Marcus Hall, there's going to be a transitional period. And we certainly have extended that period, maybe a little bit further than what we would have envisioned going into it. But I really like the growth. I like how a lot of our guys have had to step up and take new roles that they just haven't had to do with the players we've had in the program previously. So it's been tough from a win-loss standpoint. But like we tell our guys all the time, let's not let the wins and losses define who we are as a team. Let's let the way we work, the way we treat each other, the way we do the things that take no talent. And we have a lot of growth behind the scenes. I really think we're trending in the right direction. We love coaching this group. I think it shows with some of the wins and some of the way we've competed down the stretch here. Some teams would play the schedule we've played and just fold up shop. And we're doing the exact opposite. You know, taking down Mosinee at Mosinee, getting tough and, you know, getting really tough against the best teams in our league down the stretch here. And again, we want to play our best basketball when it matters most. And when it's win or go home time, it doesn't matter what your record is. It matters what you believe and what you've worked to achieve to get to that point. And we think we can do some really good things here down the stretch.
And how big a deal? Because every time we go through and analyze what we see or what we know or what we read on paper, we're always talking about Everest as a dangerous, you know, you can't get caught, like you said, you can't get caught up in their record because they're playing teams competitive. They're doing well in those non-conference games as much as they're battling in the league, which everybody's conference, you know, when you coach in the conference, it's the best conference in the world. You're going to defend it to the death. But I guess just telling us a little bit about your team. What do you really, really like about them? And we talked off air a little bit about playing your best basketball team. What are some things, hey, we still got to get to this point so that they can be where you think they need to be running into the postseason?
Yeah, we talk about three areas, whether it's practice, game, preparation. That's defense, rebounding, and value in the basketball. And I think from a defensive standpoint, we've made some adjustments that fit our personnel. There might be a way that, you know, as you as a coach or you as a player want to play, but it takes some trial and error to really figure out who you are at this point. And so we've done some different things defensively, packed back a little bit more, maybe not as aggressive as what we'd ideally like to play. But I think you always got to tailor it to what you do and what you do best. And that takes some time. Valuing the basketball is an area that we got to continue to get better at. We're just turning the ball over at too high of a rate right now to become the kind of team that I know we can become. In rebounding, we've been outstanding all year. And we got to continue to control the glass, continue to get five guys in the mix, continue to sneak in there and get some offensive rebounds. So that's, you know, those three areas, we got to continue to really be intentional, the way we work at it, the way we focus on it, and really doing it together, five guys. As you know, all of those three areas takes five guys to get it done. And one guy doesn't do his job in one of those areas, you're gonna get exposed. So it's a process. It's continuing to show up every single day. What I love most about this group is they just keep showing up and wanting to work and want to be coached. And so we got great kids. Again, our record, we are not whatever our record is. I don't even know what it is right now. Because really what I judge it by is, do the guys come in hungry, wanting to work every single day? And if they do that, then it doesn't matter what your record is because we all make the thing, and where you want to get to, you got to keep winning, and it's a one-game season once you get to that point. So really excited. Like I said, I think we're trending in the right way. We got great kids in the program. We're super young. We have two seniors. Colin Ebersole has been just a warrior for us this year, leads us in rebounding, wins every sprint in practice, really showing the guys what it means to be a senior and how you work when you're a senior. And then A.J. Reynolds is a new guy to our program this year. And so really tip my cap to our two seniors. They've done a great job this year. And we owe it to them, right? Like you get 1 year to be a senior basketball player for Everest. And we talk about that all the time, about being thankful for our opportunities and making sure that we send these two seniors out the right way.
Looking at some of the scores recently, it seems like you guys can do it in different ways. You gave up 31 last night against Merrill. You held Marshfield into the low to mid 40s in a very tight game. And then you get in the 70s against Mosinee and against East. Is that something that is – how do you see that? Does that mean that some nights you're better defensively or are you capable of playing different styles of basketball?
Well, I think the best teams and the best programs and the best systems are able to win in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And that's what we want to be, right? We're not there yet, but we can get there. And I think our young guys are starting to figure it out, that there's different games require different things. And, you know, pace of play, tempo. We certainly knew we didn't want to have extra possessions against Marshfield. As efficient as they are offensively, when their defense is set, let's get that thing side-top-side and let's get it side-top-side. Multiple times we shot almost 70% against Marshfield, but we still turned the ball over at a rate that didn't allow us to get the result that we wanted to get. But I mean, it was a one possession game under 2 minutes. They got a guy named Brooks Hinson that we don't have. And I think we've all seen how special he is. And he made some plays for them down the stretch, and it wasn't scoring. Brooks Hinson just wins, and he got offensive rebounds and he got deflections. And so we're still growing into that. And it's taken us some time. But, yeah, absolutely, we want to be able to play any style, anywhere, anytime, and be able to compete and get results.
Last night, let's talk about that because, Merrill played East on Monday, and it was a tight game. They battled. And then last night, they were back on their home court against you guys. what worked, because that's a very impressive score to go anywhere in the Valley and to win by 62-31. What did your team do well last night?
Well, you know, Merrill's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we were concerned. They're coming off taking East right down the wire. We all know how good East is. We got off to a 23-0 start. So anytime you get
– That helps.
Yeah, there's no issues there. And, you know, we as coaches or even players, you make a lot into the game. But when you're making shots, everything's better. And when you're not, you're not. You know, and so last night we got off to a great start. The first possession of the game, we talk about be the first when we're on the road. Be the first. Be the first to get an offensive rebound. Be the first to the free throw line. Be the first, you know, ball on the deck, body on the deck. Be the first to take charge. Be the first to get a deflection. So those first things that we think are signs of playing hard. And Colin Ebersole got on the first possession an offensive rebound, drew a foul. Be the first to make two free throws. He was the first to make two free throws. They came out in a box and won, and we screened in the backside of the zone. We have a guy by the name of Cade Felch, and if you leave him open, he's going to punish you. He had six made threes, I think, before they got out of that in the first half. So I think we just played to our strengths. I think we looked at how they were playing us, and we got a group of guys that celebrate each other's success. They knew Cade got it going, and they said, let's keep finding him. And that's a fun way to play. And then we couple that with, I thought, our defensive intensity was at a level that it needed to be at. And like you guys said, when you get into conference play, most games are a coin flip, or a lot of them are. And that was certainly not a game that we anticipated doubling them up. But it was, again, I think it's a sign to our players and our program we're trending. And we're trending the way you want to be trending this time of year.
We will have more with D.C. Everest High School head boys basketball coach Oliver Drake coming up. But first, time for an information update. Get your news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Home Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Continuing our discussion with D.C. Everest boys basketball coach Oliver Drake.
Coach, has it ever been, you know, you get your players in and you mold things around the players, and that's what you build with. I think that's the best thing about high school. We're not recruiting. They're in the school, and this is what we got to work with. And I think that's what makes it cool, because everybody's got to work with what they have. And do you ever have to take or set back or pause for a moment with a young group? Because it's so much different when you can say, you know, in a couple of years, we'll talk to you and you'll be like, hey, yeah, they're experienced. They've been around the block before. I got all these old guys. And then before, it's like, nope, we got the different patience, the confidence you got to drive, the way you've got to approach to not make a mistake, feel like it hangs, but that they can learn from it. Is there anything that you find that you have to do a little differently with the youthfulness of your program this year, I guess?
Yeah, I think every year we're learning as coaches, just like the players are learning. I think the moment I think I've got it all figured out, I need to get out, you know, and yeah. I think the moment you think you got it all figured out, you're going to get your tail kicked. So this year I've learned a lot, you know, just kind of maybe the way I envisioned us playing defensively has changed dramatically to where we're at now. I think even offensively, you know, some different things that we're doing. But I think every team is a work in progress. Some teams just early in the season have an identity because they have some proven guys that played those roles previously or know where their value was in previous seasons. We didn't have much of that because we lost a guy that's just a tremendous basketball player in person, in Marcus Hall. So I think every year you're a work in progress. I think, you know, you already think like next year we're going to have so many guys returning where they know what we do, how we do it, and why we do it that way. And this year it was just a little bit more of teaching, reteaching, trying to stay patient. And you as a coach just, you know, hey, maybe we envisioned it this way, but we got to be flexible enough to say, hey, it's not working. That's not us yet. You know, and I always put that yet on there because I always say, we're going to get there. But we're not there yet, so let's keep sticking with it. Let's keep showing up. Let's keep rolling up our sleeves and working. And I just can't credit our players enough. They just keep battling. And that's what's got me so excited about the end of the year. That's what's got my voice hoarse right now because we, you know, coming off of practice where we're getting after it too. And that's just, I think I heard you guys earlier, this is just a fun time of year. This is where you get paid back on maybe some stuff you didn't get paid back on early. You got a chance to get paid back in a big way this time of year.
And how about the conference? You know, again, like I said before, you're in your conference, you coach in it, you play in it. It's the best conference in the world. But in your 2 years in the time in the Valley here, I think from being a spectator on the outside, that I think it's even more competitive and even more of a war this year. How would you label the Valley if somebody that didn't know what the Wisconsin Valley basketball is all about, being in the midst of it as a coach or a program player, all that stuff?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And people can say their conference is the best, but how many teams in Division I basketball have two or eight in the top five? Yeah. And that's the Wisconsin Valley. And Marshfield and Point are legit. You have to beat them. They don't make losing plays. They both have point guards who are second to none in the entire state. And then you couple that with Wausau East, who in Division II, I think, has a legitimate chance of making a really deep run. And then how improved is Wausau West? I mean, you want to talk about a turnaround season. And so there are no off nights. In Rapids, you throw in there. I mean, there's just no – and I know, exactly, coaches talk, right? Everybody's league's the best. But I think our league is proving that. Our league is very, very, very good this year. And well-coached, great players, some really, really good – college caliber kids in the league that I don't think we've had the depth, certainly didn't last year, and unfortunately a lot of them are underclassmen too, so it's going to be good for a long time to come.
You talked about the battle in your group, and I thought one of the most impressive things was to lose that game against East, where you battled, you put yourself in a position to win, and one of those miracle shots takes, you know, in a big environment and a big game, and yet your team has been able to, I don't know what to say, learn from it, but hey, you get knocked down, you get back up. And I imagine as you get into situations at the end of the regular season and especially in the postseason, you gotta have that ability where if either a call goes against you or an opponent goes on a bit of a run, you gotta have that stick-to-itiveness to keep battling. It sounds like that's what this group does.
Absolutely. And I think that's where you truly show who you are. You know, in those tough moments, who are you? I think that's when it gets all peeled back. Who are you as a program? How do you come back and battle? And we came back, and we battled Marshall right down to the wire. And then a game later, we beat Mosinee at Mosinee. And I think that really showed us and showed, you know, everybody that we're here. You know, in our record, if there's a better, whatever our win-loss record is, if there's a better team in the state than us, I don't know who that is. Obviously, I'm biased. But you know, we've really challenged ourselves this year, and I totally agree with you. Those are the things that I'm most proud of, and not just because it's going to help us in the season, but if these guys apply this to the rest of their lives, as we know, there's going to be adverse moments in your life. And if you can do that, we always talk about doing the next right thing right. You know, how you, it's not the mistake, it's not the outcome you didn't like, it's the response to that. And during those tough moments, can you respond right? And this group has continued to do that. Love coaching these guys. And really look forward to seeing us play our best basketball down the stretch.
Let me ask you about Cohen Preeby. We had him here a few weeks ago. Really great to have him. And it was really another good discussion. As Jeff said, I mean, he's been around. He's been playing a lot of big minutes and a lot of big basketball games and a lot of success. Could you talk a little bit about where he is as a player and maybe what you're thinking in terms of his ability to continue to take those steps?
Well, he's a guy we lean heavily on. You know, it's he's thrown, everybody throws everything at him from a defensive standpoint. What I think I'm most proud of Cohen and his growth is last night he had 9 rebounds. We've challenged him, and he's challenged himself, right? Cohen's in the gym early in the morning, in season, out of season. Nobody's putting in more time than Cohen Preeby. But we've challenged him on the stuff outside of what, you know, most outsiders view, did you play well based on points? And what we're trying to tell them is, hey, the best point guards, their floor game is outstanding. Rebounds, assist to turnover ratio, you know, getting our team huddled during dead balls, never letting any quiet moments, you know, always getting the talk right on the floor. And he's just been unbelievable all year. I still think there's a ton of opportunity and growth there for him. I think he's far from a finished product. I'm sure you enjoyed talking with him. He's a super smart guy, you know. Just a great all-around guy. Yeah, I think we all treat him as like he's like the old grizzly veteran. Now he is becoming one. He's in, you know, second half of his junior year, but he's still got a whole nother year with us. And so we're really, really excited about his growth. Again, it's the stuff outside of scoring. I just think it's so hard for so many of these kids because they've grown up around points, 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 points. But I think you've seen it, and I think you see it in our league. These teams that are leading our league, they have point guards that don't care about that. They want to win, and they'll get the tough rebound. Mm-hmm. They'll get the deflection late in the game. They'll get the really unbelievable stopping on 2 feet and sticking to a teammate who's got the 100% look. And I think Cohen has that ability to become one of the elite point guards in our league. I think there's a couple of them there that are leading their teams right now, mm-hmm. and I really think that's going to be our next step. But he's been an unbelievable head coach, unbelievable guy just to see him, the way he works every single day. And we really think there's still a lot of room there for him to get even better, which is pretty exciting mm-hmm. for us.
And, Coach, jumping back in, just to the scheduling, do you have, you know, obviously you got some, you always have more games in your conference when you see these teams second time around. And we've already talked a lot about the conference. So it's still going to be a war every night. How about your non-conference games? I guess some of the teams you got left. And how big a deal is it that sometimes it is a Thursday, Saturday getting them ready? What, you know, because I remember when I was doing that, I was sometimes we tried to take the pressure off them and say, hey, we're out of our gym, we're out of the area, let's just go have some fun and get back down to basics. Other times, like, no, this is going to build the toughness and the physicality that we want because we're getting ready for the playoffs. I mean, any specific approach you take on those and any of the you know, some of the teams that are coming up that you might have left if there's only a couple in there yet?
Yeah, we only have one non-conference game left. We've played Appleton North, who's top five in the state. We've played Hortonville, who's out of the Fox Valley, who has Division I play. I mean, we've played borderline too many good non-conference teams. I think I heard you guys talking earlier, too, that balance of you know, you don't want to get beat down so much. And I think we were affected a little bit by just our schedule. I think in the long run, it's really going to pay us back. But we don't take any different approach, whether it's conference or non-conference. Obviously, all of our goals lie within conference play, right? Like, everybody wants to win a conference championship. But at the end of the day, what's most important and where you continue to play is not in conference play. It's at the end of the year and, you know, playing for those seedings. So I think we'll be paid back this year already, just with our strength of schedule will be through the roof. We still have one non-conference game in Wisconsin Dells, who's, I want to say, maybe a 15 or 16 win team. We have them on Saturday, so I told myself I'm not looking at them, but I did sneak a peek a little bit this weekend because they do some different things. But yeah, conference, non-conference, it's like, hey, it's another opportunity to be thankful for our opportunities to compete. Let's do it together. Let's get after it, and let's just continue to get better. And I think that's most importantly, conference or non-conference, being really consistent with our approach and our messaging. Because when you build these certain games up more than what they are, I just think that's where you see the peaks and valleys. And just trying to be really consistent with the areas that we control, and that's defense, that's rebounding, that's valuing the ball. And then really consistent with our mindset. I think that's where consistency can take place. And again, we haven't been yet as consistent as what I think we can be. But I think it doesn't matter what game it is. We want to be a program that's really thankful for our opportunities. Like, when you really scrape all this stuff back, man, it's pretty cool what we get to do, and not forgetting about that, too. And I think that thankfulness for the opportunity is where you don't got to worry about playing hard. You know you get to do stuff that not everybody else gets to do. And I think that's lost a lot of times in a lot of this, is just breaking it right back down to, man, we're healthy enough to do this. You get to do it together. You got people in the stands that love you and care about you. And when you really break sports down that way, then you don't got to talk about playing hard, because that's a given. And I think when you forget about the opportunity and you put it as an obligation, I think that's where, you know, things get messed up. So that's what we try to do. You know, that doesn't mean we're perfect. We're certainly not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we just keep trying to get better and try to keep things in the right light with the way that we approach them.
And tomorrow night, I'm looking forward to being over there at D.C. Everest. Wausau West and D.C. East, second time around this season. Again, it should always be a great atmosphere. The first time around, I think your team is a much better team than it was back then. I don't think that was your best night. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. But I credit West. I really credit them.
So what about tomorrow night? I mean, obviously it's a significant game, and something Jeff always talks about. The second time around, you want to be much better than the first time, whether it's winning the game, and obviously that's the goal, but also just to be better against a good basketball team. What are you looking at tomorrow night as maybe keys for your team against, again, a Wausau West team that I thought played really a good game against Rapids on Friday?
Well, Wausau West is really good. And the thing about Wausau West is they're going to bring the fight to you. So number one, we better match or surpass anything they bring from a physicality, defense, rebounding. We've really challenged our guys to to be the best versions of themselves in those areas, because I think that's the area that I thought we really, we just flat out got kicked in that game. And I think we own that. And I think we don't try to sugarcoat any of it. That is what happened. And if we use that, it'll give us a ticket to a place that I think we want to get to. So that's the challenge. You know, I just think Wausau West is really good. I think they have a way of really controlling tempo. They did some things to us defensively that other teams hadn't done that far, with just downing some of our live ball dribbles and providing help early. And we picked our dribble up in trouble. And we just did a lot of things that played right into their hands. And again, I tip my cap to West. I look forward to our response. And but if we're not ready and strapped up and we don't match or surpass what they bring to the table from a physicality standpoint, it'll be the exact same thing. So we need to be ready to go. I'm confident our guys will be ready to go. We've had some good work up into it. But you know, these crosstown rival games, I mean, they're a flip of the coin. Doesn't matter the records. You can toss those out. It's going to be physical. It's going to be fun. And most importantly, I want it to be an opportunity for our guys to really show the best versions of who they are.
DC Everest High School boys basketball coach Oliver Drake joined us last evening on the Big High School Sports Show. If you haven't tuned in for the Big High School Sports Show, I encourage you to do so on Wednesday evenings. We're heading towards the end of our season, in fact, at the end of the winter high school sports season. And don't forget tonight, Wausau West and DC Everest in high school boys hoops. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:15 tip, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We'll come back, have our daily history lesson coming up next. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Fight to make ends meet, keep the man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people?
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Today is the 8th day of February, 2024. That means it is day number 39 of the year, and that means there are 327 days remaining in 2024. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1692, a doctor in Salem Village, Massachusetts Bay Colony, suggested that two girls in the family of the village minister may be suffering from bewitchment, leading to the Salem witch trials. And that ultimately led to the Crucible. And I've been in that show twice. Great, great play from Arthur Miller, based on the Red Scare of this country in the 1950s. So that occurred 1692, the start of the Salem witch hunt. 1910 on this date, the Boy Scouts of America was incorporated by William D. Boyce. On this date in 1922, President Warren G. Harding introduced the first radio in the White House. In 1998, on February the 8th, in the first female ice hockey game in Olympic history, Finland beat Sweden 6-0. On this date in 2007, model actress Anna Nicole Smith was found unresponsive at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. She was pronounced dead at a local hospital a short time later. Her death was ruled an accidental drug overdose of a sedative. On this date in 2012, Elizabeth Taylor's collection of artworks by Vincent van Gogh, Camille Pissarro, and Edgar Degas sold for over $17 million at Christie's in London. On this date 8 years ago, in 2016, Mexico's president announced the recapture of drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. And on this date in 2019, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos accused the National Enquirer and its owner American Media Incorporated of blackmail over private messages detailing an extramarital affair. Those are some of the famous events occurring on this date. Some famous people are celebrating their birthday here on February the 8th. The famous composer, conductor John Williams. Star Wars, Superman, and so many others. John Williams turning 92 years old today. Newsman Ted Koppel, best known as the host of Nightline for many years. Ted Koppel, 84 years old today. Nick Nolte, actor, is 83. Comedian Robert Klein is 82 years old. Creed Bratton, Creed on The Office, is 81. Actor Mary Steenburgen, Elf, Back to the Future 3, Book Club. Also, Mrs. Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen, is 71. Author John Grisham, turning 69 years old today. Vince Neil, lead vocalist of Motley Crue, 63 years old today. Actor Seth Green of Austin Powers and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 50 years old today. Cicely Strong, comedian, former member of Saturday Night Live's cast, 40 years old today. And surfer Bethany Hamilton, 34 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Boy Scouts Day. It is Fat Thursday. Giving Hearts Day. Potato Lovers Day. Laugh and Get Rich Day. Not bad. No, Kite Flying Day. Opera Day. And Propose Day. So today could be the day to propose. Time now for our number for the day.
Okay.
Number for the day, and we did not have it yesterday because of our guest, but you are 0 for 2 this week.
Yes, so I am.
It's time to get back on the winning track.
Yes.
Our number for the day is the pounds of popcorn Americans will eat on Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
We will give you a multiple choice.
All right.
2.4 million. 3.1 million. 3.8 million. So pounds of popcorn Americans will eat on Super Bowl Sunday. Again, 2.4 million, A. Mm-hmm. 3.1 million, B. 3.8 million, C.
I'm going to say, well, popcorn is pretty popular for Super Bowl, so I'm going to say B.
3.1 billion, a million. The correct number is 3.8 million. So C.
Darn, I was thinking I was going to pick C. I changed my mind at the last minute.
I thought you were.
Dang it.
So, 0 for 3.
Yep.
You're going to have to make it work tomorrow. And I'm guessing it will again be something to do with the Super Bowl. It's been that way all week long. And it tends to have to do with people eating during the Super Bowl as well. So I think we have an idea what to.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Man, I still have this lousy cough, and it really is driving me crazy. But we're going to keep on plowing forward. Thanks again for everyone to join us tomorrow. We'll be joined from Las Vegas and Super Bowl activities. Mike Clemens, our Bow Falls Radio sports reporter, he'll be with us at 8:35. And then Paul Micklake will be with us for our Wisconsin sports segment, as we do every Friday at 9:20. Ian, have a great rehearsal tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jen. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And thanks again for all of you joining us. We will be back tomorrow from 8 until 10 a.m. Another edition of the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.